From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you know there's a moment. You can almost sense it coming. When we track someone down and put them on the spot. And it goes a little something like this.
I mean, when you see these numbers after doing the analysis in Mobile, Alabama.
That's Reveal's Aaron Glantz.
Ocala, Florida, Greenville, North Carolina, Vallejo, California, Columbia, South Carolina.
Aaron's talking to Thomas Curry, the man who was the country's top bank regulator under President Obama about why people of color are being denied home loans.
All of these cities where our statistical analysis shows the reason you'd be denied for a loan is the color of your skin, and yet, under your tenure, under the previous head of the agency, 99% satisfactory. How can everyone be getting this satisfactory rating?
Again, I can't answer that.
But we found the same thing in Memphis, in Wichita, in Little Rock. If all of these banks are getting satisfactory Community Reinvestment Act assessments, how come in all of these places people are being denied?
I think that the results from your studies are unacceptable from a standpoint of what we want as a nation and to make sure that everyone shares in economic prosperity.
Not acceptable. A lot of people find what we uncover unacceptable, and some people do something about it. Like with Aaron's investigation into modern-day redlining that he worked on with Reveal's Emmanuel Martinez. That story brought us back to the civil rights era.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
In April 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. The shock and outrage over his death gave Lyndon Johnson the ability to push a law through Congress.
Fair housing for all human beings who live in this country is now a part of the American way of life.
The Fair Housing Act was the final major piece of legislation of the civil rights era. It made it illegal to discriminate in renting and selling homes. Last year, we launched an investigation to see how much had changed in the last half century. The answer, not nearly enough.
My experience was so horrible.
We told you the story of Rochelle Farul, a young African-American woman in Philadelphia who had been teaching computer programming at Rutgers University. She wanted to buy a house, but when she applied for a mortgage, she was turned down. The loan officer said it was because she was an independent contractor and didn't have a full-time job. So Rochelle switched fields. She found a full-time job at the University of Pennsylvania, managing a million-dollar grant. Then she applied for a loan again, but still wasn't able to get a mortgage.
I understandably was really upset because, you know, I'd been looking for a while. And so I was like, well, what do I do?
Her partner, Hanako Franz, offered to help. The two had been dating for less than a year, but she offered to sign onto the application. Now, Hanako didn't have a full-time job.
Yeah, we did this after I was a school teacher for 4 years, quit my job, moved to Japan, was making $9 an hour at...
Selling French fries.
Hanako was working part-time at a grocery store. Her most recent paycheck was only $144, but she may have had something else going for her. She's white adjacent, as Rochelle puts it. Her mother is Japanese and her father is white. Hanako identifies as Asian, but she wondered if the loan officer saw her that way.
Legally, my first name is Mary, and nobody calls me Mary. My email is Hanako, you know? He would call me Mare. And then, like, towards the end, just completely stopped answering Rochelle's phone calls. Just ignored all of them. And then I called, and he answered, like, almost immediately. And is so friendly.
At this point, Rochelle had been trying to buy a house for over a year. A few weeks after Hanako signed on, Rochelle finally got a mortgage.
Santander allowed me to get a loan.
Because I came on.
Because Hanako came on. This process, in a lot of ways for me, was really disempowering. It was humiliating. And that's where a lot of my bitterness comes from. I was made to feel like nothing that I was contributing was of value. Like I didn't matter, you know?
Rochelle's experience was part of a much larger story. Reveal analyzed millions of mortgage records. We found that in 61 cities across the country, people of color were far more likely to be denied a home loan than their white counterparts, even when they made the same amount of money, wanted to take on the same size loan, and buy in the same neighborhood. Philadelphia, where Rochelle lives, had one of the biggest disparities. African Americans were nearly three times as likely to be denied a conventional mortgage than their white counterparts. Our show came out in February, along with a series of articles published in newspapers across the country. When the investigation came out, it touched off a firestorm, with lawmakers talking about Rochelle's story.
She had savings, good credit, and an undergraduate degree from Northwestern. When she first went to apply for a home loan, she thought she would be the perfect applicant.
That was Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada. It was one of more than a dozen speeches on Capitol Hill about our story. Here's Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
Lending discrimination is real. A new comprehensive report that looked at housing markets all across the country just came out from the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal. And its findings should make us all sick to our stomachs.
Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota read it into the congressional record. And during a hearing, Ellison and Congressman Lacey Clay of Missouri grilled Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, about redlining.
I've shared with your staff a recent article from my hometown newspaper. My question is, what can the Federal Reserve do?
Racial discrimination in mortgage lending and in any kind of lending is completely unacceptable. And wherever we have authority, we will use it to stop that from happening.
The biggest immediate splash was in Philadelphia. Lawmakers there held hearings, too.
This week, I have seen a sickening, unacceptable, but most importantly, un-American injustice.
That's Kenyatta Johnson from the Philadelphia City Council.
When we talk about segregation, we are usually talking about the Jim Crow era. Separate schools, separate churches, separate water fountains, and we sometimes give in to the myth that the Civil Rights Movement is relegated racial segregation to the darker days of American history. But here we are on the 50th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act, and deep segregation is alive and kicking.
Delaware, Iowa, Pennsylvania, Washington State, and Washington, D.C. have launched investigations. Pennsylvania was the first. Here's their state attorney general, Josh Shapiro, days after our story came out.
Frankly, I'm disgusted by it. We are chasing this down, and we take this seriously. I read the articles. It is not only wrong in terms of what's happening to that individual who's being denied a mortgage, but it holds the city back. It holds neighborhoods back. It holds people back from achieving what they are capable of achieving.
But it's not just politicians who are upset. When the story first aired, we asked our listeners to text us questions about redlining. Here to help answer some of those questions are the reporters who broke this story. Aaron Glantz.
Hey there.
And Emmanuel Martinez.
Hey, what's up, Al?
Okay, so we got about 2,000 questions from listeners. They wanted to know about the history of redlining, about which banks are to blame for today's racial disparities, and about how things might change under President Trump. A lot of people simply wanted to know, what can I do? Elizabeth Holmes is an escrow agent from Dallas, Texas.
Well, I actually deal in real estate every day, and I don't typically see who's not getting mortgages. They don't generally get that far to me, but sometimes I do when I have a client who comes in and they already have a deal, and, you know, then they find a lender, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're not going to get that house. What do I do if I believe that I am being redlined or discriminated against?
So, Aaron, what can someone like Elizabeth do?
Well, if you think you're being discriminated against, the government wants to hear from you. In Washington, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a system where you can make complaints. You can call an 800 number or go online and make a complaint.
Yeah, but hasn't the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau basically been gutted under President Trump?
Well, that is also true. And it's also true, as we've reported, that the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department is at an all-time low in morale, and that the Trump administration has not brought a single fair lending case in the last year. However, you ask me, what am I supposed to do if I'm in this situation? It's against the law. So you got to say, report it to the proper authorities. There's also fair housing groups all across the country that specialize in this, and they can help you bring a complaint if you feel like you're getting brushed off when you first make one.
We have another question from Myron Clifton, a sales director in Sacramento, California.
Hi, my question is, what does your reporting show for Wells Fargo in relation to redlining? Because I know they've had issues. They've been in the news quite a lot for the past couple of years for how they've treated minority and Black applicants. So I'd like to know how Wells Fargo shows up.
Well, Myron, in Sacramento, Wells Fargo is by far the biggest lender in that area. They made 3,200 loans between 2015 and 2016, but only 62 of them went to Black applicants and another 375 went to Latinos. And when you compare them to the whole industry, they're a lot worse than the average.
Here's our next question.
My name's Jose Guajardo. I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm in IT. And my question was, is there a centralized place to research the companies that are less likely to discriminate?
Okay. So, Jose, we've created a map for this very thing. We've broken down the lending patterns for each bank and lending institution by applications, loans made, and denials for each race and ethnicity. So if you want to see how well Bank of America is doing, or Wells Fargo, or JP Morgan Chase, how well they behave in terms of lending to people of color or not, you can go to the map at app.revealnews.org/redlining. Again, that's app.revealnews.org/redlining.
On our show, banks said they didn't discriminate against people of color. They said that they based their decisions on credit scores, not race. So we got a lot of questions about credit scores, like this one from Liz Morgan, an interior designer in Portland, Oregon.
Who decides how credit scores work, and why aren't we changing the way they work?
You know, Liz, this is a question that really interested us. Why do we use this old credit scoring model if it turns out that it has such big problems? And the answer turns out to be that 90% of conventional loans are purchased by these two government-created mortgage companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And these companies are insisting on using this outdated credit scoring model that there's a broad consensus that it hurts people of color.
Let's double down a little bit on the credit score. Brandon Block, he's a freelance journalist in Baltimore, had a great question about it.
We said on the show that there are ways in which a credit score, the way a credit score is designed, can have a discriminatory effect on someone. And I was wondering how exactly that works.
So this is an excellent question. Back when the credit score system was created decades ago, it was actually created to solve the whole problem of discrimination because there were lots of loan originators, mortgage brokers, who would just turn people away because of the color of their skin. And there was a movement that said, if we create an algorithm that you just put all somebody's financial profile into a computer, then that computer algorithm won't be racist. The problem is that the algorithm that we ended up with has some documented racial impacts. There are a lot of things that don't get counted, like rent, for example, or payday loans. So people of color are targeted for payday loans. And these payday loans only report if you miss a payment. They don't report if you make a payment. There's lots of other things like that. And then you have, on the other hand, other forms of credit that are used more by white consumers, like traditional credit cards, for example. Every time you make the credit card payment, your score goes up. Every time you miss a payment, it goes down. But if you miss a payment, you have all of those positive payments to jack it back up again.
Okay, so another question about credit scores out of Brooklyn.
My name is Thomas Cavanaugh, and I'm a video editor and designer. So my question is about the release of credit scores. I'm wondering if you guys have had any progress knocking on more doors to see if the banks will release that information, or if that's just something that Congress would have to force them to do?
That's a good question. Remember the housing bust when banks were making all these bad loans? One of the things that came out of that was the Dodd-Frank Act. One of the main pieces of information that act was going to force banks to release was credit score. And the reason why this is so important is that when Aaron and I questioned these banks on their lending disparities, they said that they denied people of color at higher rates because of their credit score. But then they won't share that information with us. So we kind of have to take them at their word. It's honestly looking quite bleak. This spring, Senate passed a bill that would exempt 85% of lenders in releasing credit score. So the majority of the data that we're going to work with still won't have that information there.
So our final question comes from Carrie Killingsworth.
I live in Hilliard, Ohio, right outside of Columbus, and I work for an insurance company.
my question is, what can I, as an average citizen, do to help improve this situation for the betterment of the society?
If you're looking to buy a home or refinance, you can use the interactive map that we've made to look at which banks in your area are lending to people of color and denying people of color at the same rates as their white counterparts. You know, and you could probably go to one of those banks and you could get a loan from one of those banks. The other important thing is that every bank is supposed to have their community reinvestment public assessment file on hand.
And this is a pretty amazing thing, actually. Most people don't know it. You can actually walk into your bank and ask to see their plan for serving the community. It's called the Community Reinvestment Act public file. If other people have been complaining about your bank, they're required to keep that on hand. They're required to keep on hand their lending ratio, like do they lend to people of color or not in different cities. You know, people almost never asked for this. So it's just a small thing. Maybe they'll start thinking about it a little bit if somebody comes in and asks.
That was Reveal's Aaron Glantz and Emmanuel Martinez. Their latest story out this week is about how Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, lends almost exclusively to white people. If you're wondering what's happening with lending in your neighborhood, you can find out more information right now. All you have to do is text the word HOUSE to 202-873-8325. That's HOUSE, H-O-U-S-E, to 202-873-8325. And here comes the legal lingo. Standard texting rates apply. And if you want to stop getting texts, just text STOP. Our reporters have been looking into some of President Trump's real estate transactions. The president's fond of saying that he can strike a good deal, but this one sounds unbelievable. He appeared to get a $10 million Beverly Hills mansion for nothing.
And what we spent a good deal of time trying to figure out is, how could you possibly make a mistake that gave away a massive mansion?
That story when we come back on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting in PRX.